Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm Spencer Chase. Our guest this week is USDA Rural Development Undersecretary Xochitl Torres-Small, who joins us to discuss new federal investments in rural broadband. But first, here's this week's headlines. Senators Chuck Schumer and Joe Manchin have come to an agreement on a reconciliation package that includes big investments in agriculture. The legislation includes $20 billion in spending on climate-smart agriculture programs. The bill also features tax credits to support biofuels infrastructure and sustainable aviation fuels. All told, the bill has $369 billion in climate-related provisions. Manchin had blocked previous legislation over inflation concerns, but the new bill carries the blessing of the West Virginia Democrat as well as the Biden administration. That same Biden administration had an ag trade nominee before the Senate this week. USDA senior advisor Doug McCaleb had his confirmation before the Senate Finance Committee. He's picked to become the next chief ag negotiator for the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative. Farm groups and many Republican voices on Capitol Hill have been calling on the Biden administration to be more active on the ag trade front. Alexis Taylor is still awaiting a hearing for her nomination to be USDA's next trade undersecretary. And finally, the Biden administration announced $401 million in rural broadband funding for 11 states. The announcement comes by way of funding through USDA's ReConnect program, which invests funds for rural broadband expansion across the country. It's the first batch of funding for the third round of the program, which is set to total $1.15 billion. Xochitl Torres-Small is USDA's Undersecretary for Rural Development. When we spoke with her, we asked her, how did USDA come to the conclusion to pick these particular projects?
What's become clear when it comes to high-speed internet is that rural people deserve to be able to get it as quickly as possible. And so as we evaluate the applications and make sure that the feasibility works, that the project pencil out, we want to make sure we're announcing awards as quickly as possible so they can get going. And that's what makes us so excited about today, announcing $401 million in the ReConnect program, identifying projects that we're ready to go. And we're excited for this investment in rural America.
Mm-hmm. So if we look at the investments that have been made in rural America, though, it's the Department of Agriculture has a ReConnect program. There's FCC funding. The Department of Commerce is playing in this sandbox. Between multiple different administrations, there's been a ton of federal money invested in this issue. In your travels and your conversations, is a dent being made in the issue?
It's something that everyone agrees on, that no matter where you live, you should have high-speed internet. And it's something I'm hearing all across the country. Recently, I was in Picacho, Arizona, talking to school kids who just were part of a ReConnect investment from an earlier round. And it was humbling having to talk through all of the details about how we make a project work. But they were interested because although they didn't get all the details, what they knew was that they deserved high-speed internet just as much as some kids from Phoenix. And so it really is making a difference. We're seeing the projects starting to operate in the first rounds of ReConnect. And now so much more interest and willingness to participate in the program. So this most recent round of ReConnect had more applications than any other round. Folks are interested, they're engaged, and we're ready to start investing in rural America.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that some of those first ReConnect rounds are now starting to come online, and there's clearly big interest in this particular round. With that comes some, you know, head scratching about whether or not the federal government maybe is getting this money out fast enough to address the need that is out there in rural America. Your thoughts on that line of thinking, that line of concern among some?
Part of the reason why ReConnect was a fundamental piece of the bipartisan infrastructure law. As an already operational program, we were able to plug that additional investment right into our work and get the money out fairly quickly. So as NTIA works to get that money to the states that will then have to work to get that money out, we're able to start and continue expanding on that backbone and then work on the coordination to make sure that everyone is serving and we're finding the right places to reach.
Mm-hmm. Another question on rural broadband, but I want to focus on some other issues as well. We saw the $401 million announcement this week on ReConnect, but also that's a $1.15 billion round, it's looking like. So still quite a bit of money left. What can you tell us about the timeline that the department is looking at to award the rest of that funding and potentially look toward more rounds of ReConnect funding?
We're working to get out the funds as quickly as possible. As I mentioned, what's crucial is getting projects out as soon as they're ready. And that's why we're starting with this initial investment of $400 million. President Biden is eager to continue this investment and deliver on that bipartisan investment when it comes to high-speed internet. So we'll continue to work on these projects and make sure we're keeping you informed as well as reaching rural people as quickly as we can.
We'll be right back to talk Farm Bill, Infrastructure Bill, and more with USDA Undersecretary Xochitl Torres-Small right after this.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Welcome back. Members of Congress are currently traveling the country gathering the feedback they plan to use as they write the 2023 Farm Bill. USDA Undersecretary Xochitl Torres-Small says if the department is asked for its input, the Rural Development Office stands ready.
You know, having served in Congress, I know that it's Congress that writes the Farm Bill, and we are eager to provide technical assistance as possible. And here to make sure that they know that rural development is standing ready and willing to be invested in, to do the work that reaches rural America. Rural Development is the only agency in the federal government that has a unique rural mission. It's got boots on the ground, it's got over 450 offices all across the country. And that's unique in that we have people living in the places they serve, people who know rural America, know its opportunities and its challenges, and frankly, just know how fundamental it is to the success of our country, whether it's fuel independence, whether it's the food that we eat, and we know how important now that food security is, or whether it's the clothing on our backs or the places people go to recreate. Rural America is so crucial, and that's why rural development is fundamental in the Farm Bill, which folks don't always think about.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, rural development, one of those programs that gets its own title within the Farm Bill. But I mean, if you had the ear of the legislators right now and you think that there's a program or two under your budget that could use a little bit more help, a little bit more investment, and could really shine as a result, any particular projects that come to mind?
Well, Spencer, I'll tell you about some investments that Congress is currently looking at, which we're very excited about, of course, the reconciliation package. As you know, a lot of our work, in fact, our most original portfolio is the electrification of America. And now as we look towards reconciliation, we're seeing a strong investment in clean, secure, affordable energy, making sure that we're supporting rural electric co-ops that might have some stranded assets or other challenges when it comes to investing in that clean, affordable energy. And so we're grateful to Congress for looking to that as an opportunity in reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. So that's some legislation that is being worked on, that the reconciliation package, the Farm Bill, but a bill that's already been passed is the infrastructure bill that was cleared Congress last fall. A lot of people, when they think infrastructure, they think the Department of Transportation, and we've spoken with Secretary Buttigieg on this program about DOT's role in implementing that bill. But I wonder, what can you tell us about RD's function in implementing that infrastructure bill?
The most obvious one is, of course, high-speed internet. Congress entrusted in us $2 billion through the bipartisan infrastructure law to make sure that kids in rural places have the same opportunities when it comes to doing their homework online, to make sure that rural hospitals can reach people to get care closer to home, and also to make sure that if you own a small business, you can compete on the worldwide marketplace. So we're very excited to be a part of that solution, knowing that we've been working on high-speed internet for over a decade at Rural Development. In addition, they've included technical assistance funds. So as we have communities that are trying to find a provider that has the courage to build out to their remote area, being able to provide the technical assistance to put together those applications to make them pencil out is an expertise area of ours, and we're eager to lend a hand there. And we're also, frankly, just eager to lend a hand with our rural experience. So we've been working to coordinate with other agencies as they have questions about whether it's reaching tribal communities for high-speed internet or other funds for infrastructure, and making sure they're speaking in the communities that we work in every single day.
My last line of questioning might be getting, frankly, a little philosophical for you. During the pandemic, we saw a lot of folks kind of look around at their small apartments in larger cities and decide they wanted a little bit more elbow room if they were going to be teleworking anyways. Why not do it somewhere in rural America, so long as they could, again, get that high-speed internet? Wondering, are you seeing any kind of a corresponding demand on rural development services as a result of some more folks looking at, you know, living in rural America as opposed to a more urban environment?
You know, it's having all sorts of impacts on rural America. Certainly, there's an excitement, the recognition that places that used to be thought of as flyover country, people are seeing the real value in the places and the hardworking people who live there. But we're also seeing that that's created a challenge in housing affordability. And certainly, as rural development, which provides a third of the housing portfolio that HUD does, but people don't always know it. We want to make sure we're able to continue to invest in affordable housing across rural America. We've also seen, of course, the increasing expectations for high-speed internet, which we think is a good opportunity to make sure we're reaching all of those places. It's something farmers know. If they want to participate in precision ag and be the best stewards they can, having high-speed internet and not being stuck in a slow lane is crucial. But now we're seeing increased demand for that, so we're excited to be part of that solution.
Mm-hmm. Do you have the folks on the ground to help make that happen? Is RD at a good staffing level nationwide right now?
We have the most dedicated employees I know. They're so mission-driven, and you can see that by their response in the middle of COVID-19. You take the housing obligation, single-family housing, they were on par with every other year, even though they were faced with all sorts of difficulties when it comes to doing their work in the midst of a pandemic. And so that's why it's crucial that we continue to invest in our staff on the ground. In state and area offices, because it is unique to the federal government, and it's something that we want to make sure we're able to maintain that level of service. Mm-hmm.
Undersecretary Socio Torres-Small, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
We'll be right back to hear from this week's panel, but first, Hannah Pegel takes a look at federal nutrition spending in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
Data from the Department of Agriculture shows the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which can help supplement the food budget for needy families, filled an important void for more people than ever before last year. USDA's Economic Research Service says SNAP spending was at a record high in 2021 and grew in spending and participation for the second time since 2019. This chart shows SNAP spending and participation over the last 21 years. In fiscal year 2021, spending on SNAP totaled $113.8 billion. That's 38% more than the previous year and 25% more than the previous high in fiscal year 2013, which has been adjusted for inflation. Average participation in 2021 was 41.5 million people, which is about 12.5% of the country's population. The increase in spending reflects the economic downturn, as well as a temporary expansion of SNAP benefits following the COVID-19 pandemic. Those benefits were expanded in two major ways because of these events. First, states were authorized to issue emergency allotments, which automatically took benefits to their maximum rather than based on a calculation of household size and net income. The second expansion of funding came from increasing the maximum SNAP benefit by 15% in fiscal year 2021. The growth in SNAP spending is certain to be a hot topic as lawmakers begin to write the 2023 Farm Bill. For this week's Ag by the Numbers, I'm Hannah Pegel.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers. We've heard from the Undersecretary. Now it's time to hear from a panel of experts on rural development, including a member of our panel this week experiencing the benefits of a good rural broadband connection. We'll see how that connection holds up throughout our conversation or if we have a sort of a live in-focus demonstration on the need for better rural broadband. Joined this week by Shirley Bloomfield with NTCA, the Rural Broadband Association, as well as Garrett Hawkins, the president of the Missouri Farm Bureau. Appreciate both of you taking the time to join us. And Shirley, I want to go to you first, because we did see the Department of Agriculture, the Biden administration, announced that new round of ReConnect funding here this week. Wondering, when you were looking through the announcements, looking through the funding details, your initial reaction on the projects that were chosen and the amount of funding announced this week by USDA?
We were delighted. We were delighted and very excited, because one of the things the ReConnect program does is it really helps bridge getting some deployment of broadband that is critically needed, as you noted, to these rural communities that are unserved and underserved. So to date, my NTCA member companies, who are community-based broadband providers, have received about $800 million worth of funding from USDA through the ReConnect program. Yesterday's announcement, my member companies were about two-thirds of the recipients, and they're very excited to build. They're ready to utilize these federal funds to the best of their capabilities to start deploying fiber, to start deploying future-proof networks to those consumers who, frankly, have just waited far too long.
Mm-hmm. So, Garrett, I mean, you're not in the nation's capital right now. You're a heck of a lot closer to rural America than I am. Wondering, from your interpretation, what does the need look like when we're talking about expanding rural development? What does that need look like?
Well, truly, Spencer, as we talk about bringing the kids home, as we talk about rural revitalization, broadband is that link, that thread of life, so to speak, as we think about critical infrastructure. And so when we think about the future of agriculture, precision agriculture is where it's at. And to do that, we have to make sure that we've got adequate high-speed internet, not just to the farm or ranch gate, but essentially digitize our acres, if you will, to make sure that we have service across our farms and ranches. Now, in our communities, we know that that broadband thread is also so vital for education, for telehealth and rural health care, and small business development. So, just recently, our state rural development director visited our hospital in Appleton City. We're the second smallest critical access hospital in the state. And our number one need or opportunity is telehealth, but we've got to get the adequate bandwidth in order to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Shirley, going back to this announcement, we saw the Department of Agriculture announce $401 million. That's out of about a $1.15 billion round that they're looking at on this ReConnect program. I guess your thoughts on choosing to kind of roll this funding out in chunks, with, $700 million still remaining, as opposed to just getting it all out there in one smooth shot?
I think what USDA is doing with this is I think they are really cognizant of the fact that Americans have been waiting. Garrett just mentioned it. If we learned anything during this pandemic, it is how critically important to communities that are not connected to have that access. We have seen the numbers for telehealth, distance learning, all of those things that are powered by broadband really come into focus. And I think this is an amazing opportunity for rural communities to really have a rural renaissance, folks to come back and recognize that they don't need to deal with Washington, D.C. traffic to do their jobs. But what they do need is broadband connectivity. So I think what USDA is doing by doing these tranches is a couple of things. First of all, they are saying, let's do due diligence on these applications, but let's keep the ball rolling. Let's get the money out the door. The second thing that I think that they are looking at is recognizing there's been a lot of funding for broadband that has been in the last 18 months, whether it has been through CARES or ARPA or Treasury funding, and soon to be NTIA funding. But with that, there has been a huge supply chain issue in this area. It's very, very difficult to get a lot of the really critical technology pieces, fiber optics, CPE equipment for the consumer home. So I also think the ability to roll this through in a methodical way allows those doing the broadband to be able to keep up with some of these supply chain challenges as well. So I think that there's a lot of work to be done, but I think USDA has been very thoughtful. They do these applications well, they hold their applicants accountable. And that's the other thing that we know, that when these commitments are made, these networks that they are talking about will be built.
We'll be right back with more from our panel right after this.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Welcome back. Rural broadband gets a lot of attention in the rural development conversation, and for obvious reasons. Missouri Farm Bureau President Garrett Hawkins says USDA also has a number of other things on its rural development agenda.
It looks much like the portfolio that USDA has today, in large part. And you know, Spencer, within Farm Bureau, we have talked for years about the impact that farm and ranch families have on their communities. But for us to bring the kids home, we have to have a strong community, a base, if you will, to bring them not only to the farm, but to keep them involved in our communities. And so, you know, I'm pleased, you know, Shirley, I so appreciate your comments about accountability. And as we have seen what really is a tremendous and historic infusion of federal dollars across the board into broadband deployment, what our members continue to ask for is accountability on the back end to make sure that the promises that have been made are actually kept. And the point about supply chain constraints, it's not just the fiber itself, but we have labor constraints as well. I hear from electric co-ops and others who are using contractors that getting the adequate labor is a real issue and in some cases an impediment to speeding the process of getting fiber laid in some of our areas.
Mm-hmm. So Shirley, you mentioned earlier kind of the long list of different bills that have invested money into rural development over the last few years. Obviously, Congress is considering a farm bill coming up. Look for some potential funding there as well. But I'm wondering what legislative avenues is NTCA watching here in the near future should the federal government decide that it would like to infuse some more capital into rural broadband deployment?
Well, I think one of the things that we're very excited about is in the Infrastructure Act, there's $42.5 billion that is going to be devoted to broadband deployment. There's going to be an $20 billion devoted to affordability, which is another key component. You can build the network, but if consumers can't afford to take the service, not sure you've really moved the needle much. So one of the things that is going to come in probably 2023 will be the start of this $42.5 billion coming down the pike. Honestly, I think that is going to be a lot for us to be chewing on for the next few years. This money is going to roll very differently than most federal programs. It is going to run through the states. So NTIA will be partnering with the states who are all now on the verge of creating broadband offices to figure out how that money will be distributed. So one of the things that we continue to share is thinking about community-based. Think about how you create smart rural communities, what it actually takes to distribute an unprecedented amount of funds. Every single state in the country will get a minimum of $100 million for broadband deployment, including the District of Columbia. So thinking about, you know, a state like Illinois might get $1 billion. How that money gets used, where is unserved, where is underserved? How do we do mapping correctly to figure out where those consumers really reside? Where are those speeds? Where are the speeds needed? Because again, I think the other thing as we think about this program or any future program, we have absolutely got to aim higher. We have got to do better. And I think rural America deserves us looking at a fiber technology. You know, as I think about all of the things when we're talking about, you know, future farmers, kids coming home, running the family farm, there are so many amazing applications that we are seeing in the field that our members are powering, you know, cattle AI facial recognition, the ability to monitor livestock in real time, so many applications beyond just going to market. But all of that is going to really depend on having broadband that is fiber-based.
Mm-hmm. Garrett, we'll wrap up the conversation with you here because you and Shirley have both mentioned a couple of times throughout this conversation getting kids back home, getting folks to stay on the farm, getting that population to stay in rural America, be involved in production agriculture or some other kind of enterprise in that neck of the woods. Wondering, as someone who yourself chose to return to rural America, what is something you would like to see USDA perhaps, or some things you would like to see USDA give more focus in order to get more folks back to rural America?
Well, Spencer, we've got a great opportunity as we go into this next Farm Bill debate. And something that we're talking a lot about is not just maintaining the existing safety net and crop insurance programs that we have today, but how can we put more tools in the toolbox for farm and ranch families? And I'm spending a lot of time traveling around the state talking about common sense conservation and lauding the work that we do on the farm every day in the form of environmental stewardship. At a time that we're seeing increased government interest and regulation in the climate space, we owe it to our fellow farmers and ranchers, as well as those who will come behind us, to tell the great story that we've been championing for some time. And Missouri farmers have been leaders in the space of common sense conservation. So I'm excited about the Farm Bill debate and the opportunity to engage and talk about not just the future of agriculture, but the future of our rural communities. My community is a prime example of one that's holding its own, but we can do more in the space of telehealth and complementing the great service that we provide in person today. So these conversations are ongoing within state farm bureaus across the country. We're all in the middle of policy development that will ultimately culminate at our respective annual meetings. But whether it's state level Office of Broadband Support that we're working on all the way up to Farm Bill, we've got a ton of opportunity in the space of engagement right now to make sure that these historic once-in-a-generation funds are used in the right way to not only help farm and ranch families today, but our children and grandchildren who are ultimately paying the bill for a lot of these investments.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I love about talking rural development is that rural development and rural broadband is it always makes you think, huh, I did not know someone in rural America was doing that. Love conversations like this. Wish we could have them more often. And Shirley Garrett, thanks for joining us. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers, but first, our Hannah Pegel takes a look at the state of drought in America in this week's Map It Out.
Farmers in the West, Southern Plains, and New England have seen below average precipitation over the last 30 days. Farmers are evaluating where their crops stand and whether or not they will have a viable crop to sell come harvest time. In the West and Southern Plains, many areas have been ranked D3 or D4 on the Federal Drought Monitor, which is considered extreme to exceptional drought. Some crops in those regions are rated poor to very poor in the crop progress report. For example, this year's sorghum crop has 30% of its crop ranked as good to excellent conditions. At this time last year, the crop was ranked over 65% good to excellent, and in 2020, the crop was over 50%. This year's cotton crop is at 35% good to excellent. Last year's crop was ranked at 60% at this time a year ago. Compare that to other commodities like soybeans, with 60% of its crop ranked good to excellent, and nationwide pasture and rangeland is just above 20%. For this week's Map It Out, I'm Hannah Pegel.
Did you know AgriPulse has all your favorite podcasts, including Open Mic, Newsmakers, and Drive Time? Take us wherever you go. Subscribe at AgriPulse.com or on Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts.
Agriculture Future of America is a nonprofit building transformational leaders in food and agriculture. AFA prepares college students to join the workforce as innovative and engaged young professionals who will shape the future of agriculture. Head to agfuture.org to find out how you can get involved.
Thanks again for tuning in for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for next week. We'll be keeping a close eye on the legislative calendar, which is sure to be in flux as Congress works to consider a flurry of bills before an August break, including Wednesday's compromise deal between Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin. Off the Hill, our Philip Brasher will be in Colorado for the American Sugar Alliance's International Sweetener Symposium that runs through Wednesday. As always, keep an eye on AgriPulse.com for the latest farm policy news in Washington and across the country. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Spencer Chase. Have a good one.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. For more ag policy news, visit AgriPulse.com. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more.